How's everybody doing? Sweet. Did you guys have a good afternoon? Sweet. I'm going to kick this thing out of the way, all right? That was a neat video. Stark contrast between what the world says to do and what our Lord's calling us to do. That's awesome. Hey, before I even begin, I'd love to echo the plug for the summer training program, the STP. Navigators can't say anything in the full sentence. It's not CMS, EdgeCore, IBD, whatever you want to put in there. But boy, if I could do 4 summer training programs a year instead of working on campus, I think I'd do it. Because I see the growth, the accelerated growth in students' lives like no other time that I see. I've been a part of the Snow Mountain Ranch training program the past 2 summers up in Winter Park. And I know I've been up to Grand Lake. It's probably our favorite place to go to get away from Winter Park, which is so awful to be at. And Grand Lake is just gorgeous. It's got the best front porch in America, and I agree with them. But I would encourage you. Here's the prayer I'd ask you to pray. I'd like to echo Ben there. Would you pray that God would say, no, you shouldn't go? Would you ask God, Lord, would you just tell me, no, I shouldn't go, and go from there? Ask Him to keep the door open. Take a step of faith. Go ahead and sign up. See what happens. But ask Him to shut down the door that you wouldn't go. Closed doors are a whole lot easier to read than open ones. So I encourage you, just take a step of faith. Ask that. That's enough about that. Tonight, we're going to talk about claiming the promises of God as a resource for following Jesus in the requirements that He gave us. So we looked at Friday night, who is this God that we're going to follow? Who is God? Who is Jesus? And hopefully, we expanded our view of who He is. Hopefully, we put a biblical perspective on who He is. And this morning, we talked about what does Jesus require of us to follow Him? It's selling out. It's dying to ourselves. It's taking up our cross. It's following Him. And tonight, you know, you could be at a point, I don't really know where you're at, but you could be at a point of saying, that's going to be hard. That's really going to be hard in my life. And you know what? It probably really will be. But what's cool is I've found the Word of God to be absolutely 100% true. It's never let me down, and it's filled with all these promises that God's given us to help us follow Him, to help us get to know Him more. And tonight we're going to look at that as just one sliver of one resource that He gives us to follow Him and to make our life count for Him and for His kingdom. You know, I call this message that your God is too small. It might sound like that's what we talked about Friday, but your God is still too small. I know this because I know what you pray for. I know college students, and I know wherever you're at, your view of God can get bigger. And right where I'm at, my view of God is still too small, and I confess it all the time. Lord, help me get a proper perspective on who You are. And I believe He's going to do that. Tonight, you know, it'd be really easy. I'm going to share with you some of the most fun, life-changing stories in my entire life. There'll be a lot of stories tonight. That'll be fun. Because Jesus has just done some things that rock my face off. And we're going to talk about Him. And it's just claiming His promises. And it's just standing on His Word saying, God, I believe You to be true, and I believe You're faithful to do it, and we're going to listen, and you're just going to hear some stories. But here's the trap. Here's a trap of if I start to share some of these stories. Here's what I'm afraid of, is that some of you would say, wow, Drew's really spiritual. God really loves him. Man, he just seems to work through him or something. You know what? That's a lie from the enemy. Jerry Bridges said, man, I'm just a beggar trying to help another beggar try to find out where I found some bread. And that's what we're about. I'm just a scrub like you. I got sin just like you. Man, I fall down just like you. But I've decided that God's Word is true, that He's worth following, and I'm going to stand on His Scriptures to do it. There's 2 verses I want to share with you just to drive this home, and we'll pray and we'll get started. One is Acts 4:13. And Peter and John have just gotten in a lot of trouble with big wigs in the church at the time, and they're supposed to actually be up for execution. They've healed somebody in Jesus' name. It's blasphemy against God. And it comes down to this verse, and they're starting to say, man, we've done this because Jesus is the way. There's no one else. Salvation's found in no one else but Him. And they come to Acts 4:13, and they say, the people who are looking at them say, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they were astonished. That's not what it says, actually. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Here's a bunch of fishermen. And these guys said, boy, they were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were unschooled. They were ordinary men. I'm just an unschooled, ordinary guy. You're an unschooled, ordinary person. I haven't been to seminary, no Bible college, nothing like that. But I've decided a long time ago, Jesus, I want You to use my life. and you say in your word you're gonna, and you give me all these ways to stand on that, I want to come hard after you. And so I just pray tonight that as I share some of these stories, the deception would be for you to be able to say, ooh, I'd really like to be like him. Nope. Just say you want to pray to God like I do, just a scrub, an ordinary guy just like you. And I pray that your friends would say, man, they just get astonished. And they look and they say, man, Johnny, man, he's been with Jesus. That's the only thing I can figure out. Or Susie, she's been with Jesus. That's what I'm astonished. Look at the way that just things happen for her. Like she's walking really close with God. Like God's listening to her, or like she's listening to him somehow. That's fascinating. Psalm 115:1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." And so I pray tonight as we do share, and I pray you'll get excited. These stories, they'll bless me. At the end of this talk, I'm gonna be so jacked up it won't even be funny. I'm going to tell you some stories that have just radically changed my life. But boy, in reality, not to us, but to Him be the glory because of His love and faithfulness. Before we go any farther, let me pray. Jesus, I thank You for the privilege to be able to come before You, Lord. Lord, thanks for the truth of Your Word. Lord, thanks that it's absolutely 100% God-breathed by You. That there's no error, there's no faults, or that You have it exactly the way You want it. Jesus, I praise You that You've given us all Your great and precious promises that we can stand on. Lord, when we know we can't do it, Lord, we come and we confess we can do nothing on our own. Apart from You, we do nothing. It's all about You, Jesus. And I praise You that You've given us the resources in You, in Your power, and in Your Holy Scriptures to pursue You with all of our hearts. So Lord, as we look at Your Scriptures tonight, as we look at some of the promises You've given us, would You open up our hearts and our minds to You? Would You let us stand on Your Word, maybe in ways that we haven't yet before? Lord, we ask these things in the power of Your name. Amen. So I started on EdgeCore when I left this job in Atlanta. And I was at my first EdgeCore training. And I was sitting at a table one day. You have to do fundraising for EdgeCore. I had to raise right around $30,000. And I'm sitting at the lunch table one day, and there was a navigator there. His name is Bill Tell. Maybe some of you know him. He's a godly man. And we're sitting there, we're having lunch, and I don't know him very well. And he says, "Drew, tell me what promises you're claiming." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Bill?" And I'm like eating pork ribs or something. I'm like, "Promises?" He's like, "Well, what promises are you claiming?" I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about, Bill." He said, "Well, Drew, God's Word is full of promises. And they're promises that we can grab hold of and say, Jesus, would You make this true in my life?" I said, "For real?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I want to find out what these..." The whole rest of the time I'm at this training, it's my first training, I'm asking everybody, "Hey, what promises are you claiming? Hey, what promises are you claiming?" All right, I'm going to write that. And I'm looking at these promises. I couldn't get enough of them. And I'm talking to this person and that person and that person and this person. And I come to this guy named Chris Caligiuri. And if you know him, he's kind of a crazy man. I love him to death. I said, "Chris, what promises are you claiming?" "Oh, that's an easy one. Ephesians 3:20, Drew. Ephesians 3:20. "Oh, Ephesians 3, what's that one say?" "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His power at work within us." "Ooh, I like that one. Chris, I like that one a lot. Thanks, man. Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His power at work within us." I thought, man, that's a pretty good one for fundraising. So He's able to do immeasurably more than all I could ask or imagine. Because it's His power that's going to work through me. I thought, man, I got to raise 30,000 bones. This isn't a bad one to hold on to. I'd never claimed a promise in my whole life. And I'd worked at my job, and I had taken some time off of work to go to the Edge training, and I thought I'd go ahead and work for another month when I got back. I don't really know why I thought that would be a good idea. So that left me about a month to raise $30,000. That's not a big deal. I think $1,000 a day, we can knock that out. And I started to think, okay, Lord, I need to stand on Your Word. Your Word says, and if it's true, that You can do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine, according to Your power that's working within me. So I came up with a little bitty prayer. It's a real tough one. I should have maybe gone to seminary to learn it. "Lord, You know my needs and You know my schedule. Would You take care of it? You know my needs and You know my schedule. Would You just take care of this? I need to raise $30,000. You know my need. I want to be on campus on time. That's in about a month. You know my schedule. Would You work it out? Because this tells me that You can do immeasurably more than all I could ask or imagine." I said, "Wait a second. More than I can imagine? Is that true? Lord, would you really write that in your words? Not just what I asked, but like what I could dream up? Or like a wish list? Are you kidding me? So then I got thinking, all right, God, let's do this promise thing. I'm going to ask you to raise $30,000 in the first month. So in this month, so I can go to campus on time. But I can imagine that if you'd want me to do EdgeCore for 2 years, it'll probably cost me $60,000. That if you want to raise $60,000 in the 30 days, then I'll take that as your sovereign sign that I'm supposed to stay on EdgeCore for 2 years no matter what. I thought, man, I'm going to start. And I thought, no, wait a second. All my friends are going hiking and backpacking the last week I'm here. Lord, can you get it done a week early? Can you get it done in 3 weeks so I can go with my buddies? I want to go backpacking with my friends. It says you can do immeasurably more beyond what I can measure, all I ask or imagine, according to your power that's going to work within me. That was my prayer. Lord, you know my needs. You know my schedule. I need to raise $30,000, which is what I was asking. But I could imagine him raising $60,000. And then I was even dreaming better than that. He'd even give me extra time so I could hang out with my friends before I had to go to Texas for 2 years in the desert. It was the desert. I'm into fundraising, I think, 9 days. And I sent out a letter. I quit my job, so now I've got the 30-day mark. I send out this letter. Hey, mama's friend. I haven't talked to you in 100 years. Would you like to give to my ministry? Hey, my buddy from college. I know you're still in school. Would you like to give to this thing I'm doing? I send it out to everybody I can think of. And after, I think, 8 days, I had all this response, and I was doing pretty well. 38% of the $30,000 I had. That's nuts. I was like, this is great. And my buddy Coleman calls me. He's one of my best friends in the world. And he says, Drew, man, you know, I'm still in school. I don't have a job. I really can't give that much, but I'd really like you to talk to my brother. I said, all right, I'll talk to your brother. And his brother had dropped out of Georgia Tech. He's a very successful businessman. He's a phenomenal entrepreneur, and he started his own company. And so Coleman says, you know, my brother's got some time tomorrow. He's probably got like maybe an hour or so. Can you meet with him? I said, sure, I can meet with him. And so the next morning I meet Coleman, and Coleman said, figure out, you know, where you're at stuff too. I said, all right. So I'm kind of tallying all the numbers, and the next morning I go in there, and I've got this handy dandy little flip chart kind of thing, and it's going to present this need, and it's going to show all you poor college students and how sad you are and all this kind of stuff. And Coleman's brother gets to it, and he just starts going, bam, he starts flapping it. He just starts flipping. He gets to the number stage. He goes, how much do you need? I said, I need to be at 100% of my goal before I can go to campus. He said, well, where are you at? Now what people are saying they might give, or what you think they might give, what do you have in hand? I said, well, I got 38% of my goal in hand. He said, well, then what's the 62%? I said, well, the 62% is $18,295. He said, Sally, or whatever his receptionist name was, she walks in and he says, I need a check for Drew for $18,295. I said, what? I said, make it out to the navigators, not to me. I might go buy a Corvette or something with that kind of cash. So then she walks, gives me a check, $18,295. Still chokes me up. I really might choke. Yeah, I am. So 9 days into it, I have 100% of my goal. I went home that night and cried. And I'm not joking. I cried. I said, Jesus, you mean it. You mean it when you promise something. Next to Ephesians 3:20, I got Coleman's brother's name written there. And saying, Jesus, you work through people. I praise you. And I remember Coleman and I went out to Taco Bell. It's like my favorite place in the world. And I said, Coleman, I'm going to campus. He's like, I know. And then in my mind I start thinking, but I asked for more. I asked for immeasurably more. I asked for $60,000 to come in 30 days. No, I didn't. I asked for it to come in 21 days. 19 days after I started, $60,000 had come in. Yeah, what? Some of you ain't ever even seen $6, let alone $60,000. Isn't that crazy? I still got to go hang out with my friends, go hiking and stuff. And I remember stepping back thinking, I like this promise stuff. This is cool. And what it was is Jesus said, man, I got all the resources. All the money's mine. All the houses are mine. Everything you know is mine. I got all the authority in heaven on earth. It's been given to me. That's why I'll back you up. I'll back you up to the hilt, Drew. There's no problem. When you come follow me, I'll take care of it. And I went to campus going, can y'all believe this story? Can y'all believe this? And I started praying. Lord, would you give me stories that make non-believers and people who don't know Jesus yet make their mouths drop? And would you give me stories that just encourage the brothers and the sisters? This happens big and small. That was a big one, a little one. Fridays I pray, I call it my impossible prayer list. And I pray real specifically for things that are pretty much impossible. And a couple years ago, I went backpacking down in southern Colorado, Trinidad, kind of down that way, Kuchara. My couple of friends and I, we went snowshoeing. And two of my buddies, my buddy and I, we slept in a summer tent at like, I don't know, 9,000 feet and like negative 3 degrees. Don't do that. And so I started praying, Lord, I need a winter tent. So I put on my Friday impossible prayer list. I started checking out Mountain Smith and North Face and winter tents, four season tents, they're like 400 or 500 bones. So I said, Lord, I want, so I started looking around. I started looking on the internet. I found a good REI tent. REI Mountain Smith 3. That'll hold two people good. So I started praying, Lord, I want an REI Mountain Smith 3. Goes on my Friday prayer list. I want it cheap. That's what I want. So I'm praying for this. I'm praying for it, honestly, about 4 or 5 weeks. And I go to an REI scratch and dent sale. Anybody ever been one of those? Man, that's like one of my favorite places on earth. I walk into REI scratch and dent sale, and it's like a movie. And I walk in, and across, there's like 3 or 4 tables away, I can see on the bottom of the little stuff sack, Geo Mountain Dome 3. And I take off, and I'm running. I'm running through the REI. I'm getting there, and right before I get it, Old School picks it up. I'm like, what are you doing? And he puts it up on his own. He's like, oh, this is a good one. I was like, oh, no. What am I supposed to do? And he goes over and talks to the lady. There's no price tag on it. He says, hey, how much is this? How big is it? And she's asking questions. I'm sitting there. I'm like, come on, dude. And so I follow this guy all around the area, wherever he go. He's like right here. I'm like, I'm just following him around. And he's like over there. And finally, I was like, dude, you really want that tent? I was like, man, I've been praying for that tent. Really? He's like, man, I don't need it. Yeah, here you go. Yeah. So I take the tent. And I go back up to the lady. And I said, hey, lady, how much is this tent? Because it doesn't have a price tag on it. She goes, and I know how this thing retails, I don't know, $395 or $400 or something. And I was like, is there any holes in it or anything? She's like, no. We just rent them out and we turn our gear around and do it. And I said, cool. How much is it? She goes, how about $31? I said, I'll do $31. Yeah, that's right. I'll do that. No problem. And I did it. I bought it for $31. Bought another one, same exact tent. Kid you not, $10 the next year. That's how the Lord does things. It's crazy. I got two REI Geo Mountain Dome 3s for under $40. Cost me more for the footprint than it did for the tent. It was crazy. This is always happening. Because I'm just saying, Jesus, I'd like you to do Jesus things. And these are just things right now. Both my roommates decided to move out, up and out on me. Punks. One moved to Kansas. The other one moved to Des Moines. And now I'm going, man, I'm not going to stay in the same house. But I'm going to be moving out to Boulder, maybe in the spring, early summer. I don't want to sign a 12-month lease. This is just a month ago. So I start praying, Lord. And you know my needs, you know my schedule. And so I started praying real specifically. Lord, I don't want to have to sign a lease. I'd like to do month to month. That'd be perfect. Because then whenever I feel like it's time to go, then I can go. And I'm not trapped into this lease. And Lord, you know what I'd really like? I'd like cheap or free housing. I may as well ask for it. What do you get? What do you hurt by not asking for it? So I just started praying. Lord, I'd like it to be cheap or free. I mean, I'll live above a garage. I'll live in a garage. I'll live in a basement. I just want it to be cheap so I can start saving up for a house and different things. And so I just kind of put the word out. Some of my friends, here's some of the things I'm praying for. Would you guys pray for him with me? Sure. And a gal that I know, she loves the Lord. She started putting the word out to some of her friends and emails me a couple weeks later. Says, hey, I'd like you to talk to these guys. Kind of told them what you're looking for. And they kind of want to talk to you. So I called up this couple. And a God-fearing, Christ-following couple. And they said, Drew, you know, we heard about you're looking for a place to live. And we rent some properties in town. I said, oh, that's awesome. What do you got? And they're like, well, and I said, well, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a place I can go month to month that I don't have to sign a big lease, and I'm really looking to go as cheap as I can, so I can keep saving towards a house maybe in Boulder. You guys know how expensive it is down there. And this guy, Mike, says, well, Drew, my wife and I have been praying month to month, no problem. And so we talked about it, and we thought about it, and we thought about rent, house free. I can do free! So I moved in this month. Free place, month to month. He said, as long as you need it, man. As long as you need it, it's yours. No rent? Living in a free place by myself? Are you kidding me? I should have prayed that 2 years ago. I've been dropping a lot of money on rent. That's crazy. And Jesus is just doing these things all the time. And that's one I've just held so dear to my heart. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, He's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. I live in this cool cabin out in the woods. Like a little cabin out in the woods. It's awesome. I live there for free. I got two REI Geo Mountain Domes in the closet. Man, life is good. And these are just things, people. I'm not even started on telling you the stories about asking God to move in people's lives. I'm not even telling you about the things that I've asked Him to do in my own heart. These are just things. This is like the frosting on the cake. This is just the easy stuff. Easy stuff. So one of the principles I want to look at tonight is when Jesus asks us to follow Him, we can claim His promises from His Word. Stand on them and ask Him to do them for us. And so how do we do this? You know, each of these things, there's a correlation. Maybe you picked up on it. I'm going to try not to choke. Hold on a second. Prayer. Prayer is a big part of this. You know, Jesus says in John 16:24, He says, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete." How many of you honestly and earnestly, when you pray, you wrap up your prayer thinking, "Jesus, You do have the power to do this, and that's why I'm going to ask it in Your name. That's why I'm going to come to You and ask You to do it, because You have all the authority, the Bible says, in heaven and on earth. You own all the REI Geo Mountain Dome 3s. You own them all. So moving a couple around into my closet ain't no big deal. Until now, You've not asked for anything in My name. Ask, and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete." So Jesus says to ask Him for it. You know, Matthew 18, 19 to 20, Jesus talking again, He says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for you by My Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in My name, there am I with them." Think about this one. "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth..." Not just in Colorado, not just at CSU, not just at Air Force, not just in anywhere you're at. "If any of you on earth agree about anything and you ask for it, it'll be done for you by My Father in heaven." It's His power that works through us. What a treat. What a treat to pray these things. You know, James 4:2 says, "You don't have because you don't ask." Straight up. I didn't ask for free rent 2 years ago. I learned that lesson the hard way. You don't have because you don't ask. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have it because you do not ask God. Ask God. The same big God we're talking about on Friday, the same God that wants you to follow Him, we talked about this morning, He's saying, "Ask Me. I'm God." And you want to make your prayers God-sized? At the end of every one you write out, at the end of every one you say, you just picture your God saying this. No problem. I'm God. No big deal. I'm God. Sure. Is that it? I love writing that at the end of my prayers. Is that it, Drew? Is that all? What a wonderful thing. You don't have because you don't ask. So how do we know if we're praying about the right thing? I'm on my impossible prayer list. I'm just going to be honest with you. Since 1998, Fridays, I pray for it. "Lord, I want a 1998 C5 Corvette. Navy blue if possible. Black leather 6-speed. That's what I'd really dig." I've been praying for it since 98. That's a long time. I was at like 6 years. I ain't got no Corvette. I don't have that. So what's the deal? I'm asking for it. Jesus says you don't have because you don't ask. You know, and the Word says, boy, if you agree about anything, I got some people going, "It'd be cool if I had a Corvette, right?" And they're agreeing. So how on earth don't I have a Corvette yet? What are we talking about here? You know, here's where we're going to get into a neat principle in the Word. It comes from 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, how do I know if I'm praying His will? I don't have a C5 Corvette yet. Might not be His will. It might not be. I don't know. Probably isn't. I don't have one. But how do I know when I'm praying His will? What are some ways? Throw them out. Go ahead. We're going to do some crowd participation. Not everybody at once. Can't hear you all at once. Yeah, through the Bible. Definitely. Probably the biggest way you can understand God's will is it's black and white right here. It's not real subjective. You don't really have to go, "Is that what He meant? Is that what He didn't mean? Maybe He's saying that. Maybe He's not. Maybe it's His will for this. Maybe." Hey, man, if it's in here, it's His will. I know it's His will that my friends in my life that don't know Him yet, He desires to come to know Him. I know that's His will because it's saturated in His Scriptures. I know He wants the nations before Him to bow down in praise and bow down in worship. I know it. So when I pray it, I know it's part of His will, and it's going to happen because it's part of His will, and He hears us. You know, praying through the Scriptures is probably one of the single most wild things that you can do in your Christian faith if you want to see God move in big ways. Ask Him to do what He said He's already going to do in your life, that you might see it. Ask Him to do immeasurably impossible things right in front of you because He wants to do it through you. Ask Him for those things. Now let's get something really clear real quick. God owes you nothing. Nothing. He really doesn't. He owes you nothing. So for me to stand back here and now put a stake in the ground and say, God, I am standing on this promise and you better deliver, big man, because you said you would, so bring it on. It's silly. God owes you nothing. In all reality, He owes you nothing. We can't come up to... It's silly to come up to God and say, well, buddy, you better do this because you said you would. And I'm going to claim it. I'm going to put a stake on it. I'm going to write it in my Bible. This is such and such a date. Go ahead and do it. It's silly. He owes us nothing. I love the way Jerry Bridges puts it. He says, instead of claiming the promises, we ought to be pleading the promises. We ought to be pleading the promises. How many verses have I used from Isaiah or Jeremiah this weekend? I mean, you know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. Well, I think that's written to Israel, not you. I can be real honest. But there's a principle there that it's God's heart for His chosen people. And I will say, Jesus, oh, won't you do this in my life? I beg you. I know you have the power to do it. If it was on your heart then, I know you don't change, so I know it's on your heart now. And I plead with you. I beg for you. Would you do this in my life? Now, there's some promises you can take to the bank. There's some promises, and we're going to talk about a lot of those too. But there's this idea of we want to plead the promises. Not just put a stake in the ground and say, well, you said it, do it. It's, Jesus, you said this to your children. You said this to your disciples. You said this to the people that were around you in the crowds. Would you do it in my life? Oh, I beg that you would, Jesus. Oh, I welcome it. I welcome it. Plead the promises with God. Plead them with God. You know, we're going to look at just some verses that talk about the promises of God. First one we're going to look at is 1 Peter 1:1-4. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and all the other places, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace to be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Is that it? You want to go to the next one? Oh, yeah, that's it. All right, y'all open up your Bibles. That's the wrong verse. Open up your Bibles with me real quick, if you would. You don't have to. I'll flip to it real quick. 1 Peter. 2 Peter is what I wanted. Sorry about that. 2 Peter 3. I thought that didn't look familiar. I never said them words before. I'm going to pick this up in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to read through 4. Listen to these words. This is talking about God's promises. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So through these promises, through these very great and precious promises that He's given us, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. These are very great and precious promises that He gives us in here. One of them up on the screen, Jeremiah 33:3. This is a beautiful verse. This is Jeremiah talking to Israel, but boy, let's plead it with our God. And he says, call to me, and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. How many of you would like to see great and unsearchable things you do not know from the living God Almighty? He says, call to me, and I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you great unsearchable things you don't even know. That'll wake me up in the morning. I don't need no alarm to get out of bed when I got that kind of verse in my head. Call to me. I'll answer you. Jesus, you said this to your nation of Israel. I beg you do it for me. I beg that you do it for me. Oh, would you let me call out to you? Would you put it in my heart to call out to you? And would you really show me great and unsearchable things I don't even know? Oh, that'll get me fired up. You know, Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God is not a man that he should lie. There is not a lie in this book. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. If he's promised it once, he can do it again because it's in his power. It's in the very nature of who he is. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? These are rhetorical. You don't have to try and guess what the answer is. When he speaks, he fulfills. When he promises, he fulfills. When he speaks, he acts. It's who he is. He's God. If I want to do it, then I can do it. I'm God. It's no big thing. And there's hundreds of them in here. And he's just saying, grab one. I'll show you more about who I am through my power working in you through these very great and precious promises. I don't lie. I don't speak and not act. Take me up on this. You know, this is one of the... I got to this verse probably 3 years ago. I was on Edge Corps. And I just stopped. I thought, surely this can't be in the Bible. This is John 14:12-14. You want to wrestle with a verse? You wrestle with this. This is Jesus talking to his human disciples, a bunch of guys who used to fish, collect taxes, all that kind of stuff. And this is what he tells them. Do you know... Oh, no, that's not the right one. We're going to go to John 14:12-14. No big thing. All right. We're going to flip over there. John 14. John 14:12-14 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone... Listen to that. Jesus just starting off by saying, hey guys, I know this is going to be a hard one to buy. I'm telling you the truth here. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That ought to make you stop and think for a second. That the God of the universe, Jesus himself, would say, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, he'll do what I've been doing. You know what Jesus did? Look in the scriptures. It's crazy. He did some wild stuff like nobody ever has before. And he says, you'll do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to go up to the Father and I'm going to bring glory to him. And you can ask me for things. All the authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. So you can ask me for whatever. Look at, he says it twice. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, verse 13. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Period. That would have been enough. But he says it twice. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. As a human, that ought to make you stop and think, he said this to just regular Joes, unschooled, ordinary men, that people were astonished. They took note. These guys have been with Jesus. Doesn't that make you step back a little bit that Jesus might even say that to a human? He's saying it to his disciples. If you come after him, he says, you're my disciple. And now he's saying, boy, the things I've been doing, you'll do these things. You'll do greater things than this. Jesus, you fed 5,000 people with come fish. You walked on water. I never walked on water. So he's talking about things for his kingdom. You may never feed 5,000 people with a tub of fish. You may never walk on water. But he has a specific plan for your life when you follow him to get his kingdom's plan done so that he can bring glory to the Father. You can ask him for anything you wish and he'll do it. When it's his will. I'll put that in there. Dawson Trotman had a big view of God. And I never met Dawson. I've heard some of his tapes. He passed away long before I came on the scene. But boy, if you want to create a good book that will expand your view of God about a man just living as a vessel for Christ, get The Navigator by Foster. It's a real easy read. I read it, I think, 7 times last year. And I've only read 2 other books, Where the Red Fern Grows and This Present Darkness. So it's a good read. This is a quote from him. And listen to this because I love it because he's talking to some young people, probably a group, something like this. You know why I often ask Christians, what's the biggest thing you've asked God for this week? I remind them that they're going to God, the Father, the maker of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hands. What'd you ask for? Did you ask for peanuts, toys, trinkets, or did you ask for continents? I want to tell you, young people, it's tragic. The little itsy-bitsy things we ask of our Almighty God, sure, nothing's too small, but also nothing is too big. Let's learn to ask for our big God some of those big things He talks about in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to Me and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's just King Jimmy for what we just looked at, for some of you who are confused. He says it's tragic, young people, the itsy-bitsy things we ask of our Almighty God. Man, He says nothing's too small. That's right. God is concerned with your test or with your hair for that day. Or but He's concerned about what's on your heart. But man, let's not let it be these little itsy-bitsy prayers. Let's not let it be these little bitty tiny things that, help me with this, and I'm in traffic, help me find a parking spot, whatever. And that's a legit prayer. You know it's hard to park. But man, you know, Bruce Thoss, this isn't scripture. He was my staff trainer down in Texas. And he used to always say, Drew, we honor the King, Jesus, by the magnitude of our request. We honor the King by the magnitude of our request. When we come in before a King and we say, King, I'd like you to help me with my test tomorrow. And that's where we leave it. He's like, man, I'm a king. Just study harder, man. But when you come and say, King, you're the king. You have all the power and all the kingdom. So I want to ask for all of this. And the king goes, yeah, I can do that. I'm the king. Yeah, I can do that. And we will honor Jesus with the magnitude of our request. The bigger prayers you pray, Jesus goes, now you're catching on. Now you're catching on to how big I am. Now you're catching on to how much authority I have. Now you're catching on to how much power and strength I operate out of. Yeah, you're getting it. You're starting to catch on, and you will honor Him as your prayers increase. You're going to say, Jesus, I have the faith that You can do this big. That's wonderful. Let's look at another. This is a quote from Jim Downey talking about Doss and Trotman. Prayer was serious business with Doss because he took God seriously. Former Navigator Vice President Jim Downing related an incident that illustrated this attitude. The last conference in which I participated with him was out in Honolulu in 1953. I remember we got up early in the morning to have devotions. And he went into Psalm 103 and he said to me, Jim, I got to confess this early in the morning that I've been awake for over half an hour and I haven't asked God for anything great yet. Dawson felt that he had literally wasted 30 minutes of that day. That's the kind of guys I want to hang out with. Jim, I got to confess, I've been up 30 minutes, I haven't asked anything great of God yet. We got to ask for forgiveness. You will honor the King with the magnitude of your requests. You will bring Jesus glory the bigger things you ask for Him. Pray for the whole world to come to know Him. Pray a 30-foot prayer. That's what I've been challenging my guys with. Draw a 30-foot line from where you live. Who's in that bubble? Ask Him for those people's souls. Ask Him that you'd be able to work your way into their hearts and become their friends. But don't just stop there right there in your hall. Pray for your whole campus. Pray for all of Colorado and for the states and for all the nations around the world. Honor Jesus with how big your prayers would be and say, Jesus, You want all the nations to come to You. I know it's Your will because it's all throughout Your Scripture, from the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation. It's Your heart's desire. Pray God-sized prayers. And if you're not, ask Him to teach you how big He is and how powerful He is. It took baby steps with me, like with my fundraising and these tents and all these little silly things. And now I'm just saying, Lord, You can do whatever You want. You can do whatever You want. Dawson had a big view of God. He had a huge view of God. He recognized His power and His ability to come to His Word and say, Lord, I'm going to stand on Your Word and I'm going to take Your promises to be true as I come and follow hard after You. Let me give you some of my favorite promises. Maybe some of you, this is a brand new concept. And I'm just going to throw out kind of a hodgepodge grouping of all my favorite promises. Maybe just jot down the reference. And honestly, we'll get to the end of this and a lot of you are going to go, this is awesome. How come I never heard this before? And a lot of it, I'm just going to be real honest and I hope this doesn't hurt too bad. A lot of it's just because you're not spending enough time in this book. A lot of it's just because you're not taking, how many of you guys have read through John 14 and never stopped when He said, you'll do greater things than Me? Man. Maybe we play a little too much Xbox. Maybe we watch too much TV. I don't know. But man, don't you want to have all these promises in your back pocket and stand on them every morning when you wake up to pray to the God Almighty, say, Jesus, I beg You might do this one for me this week. Oh, won't You do that? Oh, I pray that You would. I want to be faithful. I want to ask You for huge things. I'll ask for this. I can imagine that. I believe You have the power to do it. But these are some of my favorites. John 10:10. This is a great promise from the Word. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. If your Bible's like mine, you get like the red highlighted version, it helps you out, lets you know this is Jesus talking. He says, man, I'll give you life to the full. there's an enemy that wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. You know what I do, Drew? Like, his name tag, if it said Satan up here, it would say Satan, Beelzebub, whatever, Lucifer. And it would say, my job description, steal, kill, destroy. That was like his job. It was like his title. Jesus says, man, mine says, I'm Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and universe. Everything you ever know, touch, seen, smelled, anything. Yeah, I did that. That's me. I'm God. And I'm the giver of full life. Because I know your future as much as you know your past. And you follow me and I'll take you right there. He's the giver of full life. He's promised it. John 27. Is that right? Verse 30. This is a wonderful verse. My sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Praise you, Jesus. I will never perish. I've been redeemed by His work on the cross. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given to me is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. You want a promise about your salvation? This is one. You want a promise that if you've ever committed your life to Jesus, that you can never get taken away from Him? This is a great promise. No one can ever snatch you out of my hand, Jesus says. And my Father, who's greater than all, He's got you in His hand too. So it's like two big hands. And the Father's greater than all, and you're not getting out of His hand either. And we're both one. We got you. There's nowhere you're going. You're my precious one. I'm not going to let you go. That's a promise I rest in a lot. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Man, I was watching a bunch of elk kind of come by my place. I was sitting out on the porch. They were like all around my cabin. They kind of freaked me out. And the clouds were moving over the mountains. And the clouds were moving kind of fast. And I was even thinking about this verse. Lord, you take my offenses away like a cloud. You just move them on out. My sins like the morning mist. How often does the morning mist go away? Every morning. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing that the God Almighty, the Holy One, would say, true, all your sins, I take them away every morning. I'm just pushing them out of the way. Return to me. I redeemed you. Return to me. Oh, that's a great promise. That's a great promise. Especially when you're feeling guilty about your sin. You wake up the next day, you don't want to fight anymore. You feel beat down. The enemy's whispering in your voice. You stink. You may as well just stay in bed today. You're not going to get anything done for God. He's going, nope, I swept it away. Mm-mm. It's gone like the morning mist. Return to me. I'm the one who did the work. I redeemed you. You come to me. These are just my favorites. They're in no real order. One that goes with that, Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Come again? Yeah, someone put a measuring tape on it. I can't figure it out. As far as the east is from the west, it's like an immeasurable distance. God says, that's how far I've removed your transgressions from you. That's how far I've removed the sin, the stuff you've done against me wrong. I move it as far as the east is from the west. God, I can't even measure that. Yeah, that's right. I've moved it so far away you can't even measure it. You can't. I've done it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Where are you TMSers out there? Come on now. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old Drew has gone and died and now there's a new Drew. The old is gone, the new has come. You've got to tell you. Sometimes you have to preach this to yourself or else you're going to get beat up by the world. You're going to get beat up by your own sin. You're going to get beat up by trying hard and not happening. You've got to recognize Jesus says, no, the old guy, man, it's gone. I took care of all that 2,000 years ago on the cross. You're a new creation. You're new in me. You're new. You're in me. You know, a lot of you struggle with, golly, God, what's your will for my life? What should I do after college? Should I go over here? Should I marry so-and-so? Should I do it? And you guys got a lot of decisions. This one's helped me out tremendously. Isaiah 30:21. Look at this one. Plead this one and watch what happens. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, yeah, this is the way. That's the right way. Keep going. Walk in it. When I was wrestling, Lord, should I pray for Boulder? It's a hard spot. It's kind of a dark place. Are you really? I mean, I can move back down by my family. My sister's going to have kids here before too long. I want to play with little kiddos. Man, Lord, tell me. I can turn right, left, up, down, backwards. And He's just saying, this is the way. And I just hear it. I'd stay on the scriptures. Jesus, you got to whisper, because I don't know. He's faithful to do it 100% of the time. He's never let me down. The next one. This is a huge one. John 5:24. Probably many of you know it. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Have you ever thought about the idea that you will never be condemned in front of a holy God? Isaiah got to stand in front of God and he thought, oh, this is not good. Woe to me. Oh, I am in the presence of a holy God and I'm not. And we'll be able to stand before the Lord without any fear of condemnation because Jesus told us this while he was on the earth. If you believe in me, you hear my word, you believe in him who he sent, you got eternal life. You will not be condemned. Rest in that. It's a promise from his holy scriptures. It's a promise. You'll never be condemned. Live as free men. This is a great one. Maybe some of you are wrestling with a sin that you've had in your life and you just can't get over it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is one of my bedrocks. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Nothing. The enemy wants to tell you your sin is uniquely different than somebody else's. And somehow I must be the only person who's uniquely struggling with this thing. And if I let anybody else know, I'm going to be called out for the freak that I am. No temptation has seized you except what's common. It's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I wish I had time to tell you story after story about this one. He says, he will not let you be tempted beyond where you can bear. Here's my line of where I get tempted, and I get up to here, and Jesus says, Satan, you can only come this far. Because if you come any closer, Drew has to sin. So I'll stop. I will not let him be tempted beyond what he can bear. And when I am tempted, he says, he'll provide a way out so I can go stand up under it. I don't know how many times I prayed, Lord, I need that out. I know it's there. Where is it at? I don't know what it is. And bam, it happens. And if we have more time, I'd tell you dozens of stories of just Jesus' way out to stand up. But it's happened every time I've ever prayed it. 100% of the time. That's not even making this up. That is, Jesus' track record is amazing. And he wants us to follow him. He wants us to live righteously. And he will provide a way out when you're tempted. All you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is recognize it. All you got to do is look for it. Psalm 139. You want to talk about promises? You want to talk about knowing who you really are in God? I don't even have a verse up there because it's the whole dang thing. The whole thing. Man, if you want to know who you are in God, you look at Psalm 139. You want to know how special you are to the Lord, you look at Psalm 139. I dare you to camp out there for a week and just see what he might teach you from it. Go over it, memorize it, see what it doesn't do in your life. The whole thing has blessed me so much because there's promises in there about how God views me. He tells me I'm fearfully and wonderfully created. We talked about that a couple nights ago. God, I'm really fearfully and wonderfully created by you, the God Almighty? Yep, you are, Drew. Wow, thanks, God. And then next week I go, am I really? I'm really not that good, God. No, you're fearfully, you're wonderfully created. Let some of those things soak in from that whole chapter. Jesus says, come follow me. And he's given us all these very great and precious promises that we might be able to follow him. I'll be real honest with you. This was a wild thing when I first started. Man, I couldn't get enough of this. I still love claiming the promises. I still love things like this guy giving me this house for free. It's awesome things. Awesome things. You know, in the back of my Bible, I'm just going to show you a cheat sheet. Maybe some of you guys have it. It's got promises from the Bible. Man, photocopy that. Pin it up above your mirror. I don't know what you need to do. And there's so many promises on when you're feeling sad or when you're feeling like you failed or when you're feeling like you're tempted or when you feel whatever you need to count as provision or whatever. There are so many promises in his word. I tell you, you give up TV an hour a day for the next 2 weeks and you just look at his promises and you watch how your view of God will change and what you can trust him for. I encourage you to. Jesus has said, hey, come follow me. Deny yourself, follow me. I'll do the rest. And I've got it all figured out. And you can stand on some of these promises in my word. You know, you can close up your notes. I'm going to tell you just a story from here on out. This story time. And this is probably one of the single greatest days of my whole life. And this is what we're going to get back to the front. If you think for a minute that this has anything to do with me and not all Jesus, you're deceived. And if you think, man, that's a really cool story, I wish I could have that, and you don't start praying for it, then you're fooled. Because God's saying, man, I'll work through any of you. I want to do my job. December 13th, 2000. Huge ice storm is going to hit Dallas. I'm on EdgeCore. I'm going home for my first semester off of EdgeCore. I can't wait to see my family. I hate flying with a purple passion. I get so freaked out. One time I'm flying out of Amarillo to Dallas, and I'm grabbing the headrest in front of me, and I'm sweating, and I'm just... And there was this sweet little old lady beside me. She had been 80 years old, and I'm just... She's like, she goes, honey, are you scared? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, would you like to hold my hand? I said, yes, ma'am. And so I grab her hand. She goes, you need to lighten up a little, dear. I said, okay. I hate flying. So I'm always looking for a good way to get distracted when I fly. I hate it. And I had to fly home. I had to fly home from Amarillo to Dallas and then Dallas to Tampa. And so my buddy Justin and I, he was my EdgeCore teammate, we'd both been learning the bridge. How many of you have learned the bridge, the expanded bridge? Wonderful tool to share God's love for humanity with other people. It's a great illustration. And so I've been learning this thing, and I've been working on it, and I've been working on it, and I just thought, man, this is awesome. December 13th, 2000, I will never forget this day, a huge ice storm in Dallas. Kind of everywhere. All of Texas gets just hammered with ice. They don't get snow down there. They just get like sheets of ice. And so I go, I'm going to go home, so I got my guitar in one hand, I got my little backpack or whatever, and I'm walking up to the airport. We get there crazy early before we even get into that. Justin and I, for a month before, every Tuesday morning we wake up and we'd pray, Lord, would you let us share you in some capacity on the airplane ride home? Chances are we both had two legs, and so would you let us share with the two different people we might be sitting with on the way home? That was one part of my prayer. The other part was, Lord, would you give me something in common with the people I sit next to? It's not like all awkward and weird, you know. That's just kind of, I don't want to be that weird guy. So would you give me something in common with these people? So I had two prayers, and we prayed every Tuesday morning. It wasn't much longer than that. Jesus, I'm going to fly home in a month. Would you give me something in common with the people I sit next to? And would you let me share you in some capacity? And that was our prayer. That was it. We just prayed it on Tuesday mornings, and I get on this plane, I get to the airport, and I come up to Delta's counter or whatever, and I say, yeah, I'm here to check in. It's really early in the morning. My plane left real early. They're like, oh, all of our planes have been grounded in Dallas, and we don't have any flights going out. Oh, really? Okay. I'm thinking, well, maybe I won't go home just yet. Well, we'll get you on an American Airlines flight. They got planes here, and they're going. So I said, okay, we'll put me on that flight. So I'm there at like 6:37 in the morning, and I said, when's that go out? She's like, oh, 10-something. I'm like, great, that's cool. Nothing like sitting in the airport for a bunch of hours. And so I'm sitting, I go now to the terminal. It's a different airline altogether. I go down to American Airlines. And you know like, you know how the terminals have all those chairs in them? So I sit down, and I've got my Bible, and I just started to read and pray, and I put my guitar down. I was sitting on like the end of the aisle seat, and I'm just in the middle of this huge thing of empty chairs. I'm the only one there because everybody else is coming at 10-something o'clock. And I'm sitting down, and I'm there, and I'm just reading. And I'm just reading, and I'm praying. And I just prayed for two things. What were they? Something in common. And to share Jesus in some capacity. And I was reading and I was praying, and I do like watching the airplanes go by, and I was getting real nervous, and I was trying to calm myself down. And in walks this dude, no lie, ponytail down the back of his head, leather jacket, black jeans, Harley shirt, I mean just the boots, the whole get up. And he walks around, and like you know, like if you were in a movie theater and you were the first person to sit down and you kind of pick somewhere in the middle, it'd be a little weird if that dude came and sat down right next to you. 100, 200, 300 chairs, I don't even know. Dude walks right up and goes, boop, sits down right in front of me. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Empty place. And one guy sits down right in front of me. I said, you got to be kidding me. And so I said, how you doing? He said, good. He said, you play guitar? I said, yeah, I do. He said, what kind of guitar you got? I said, it's a Martin D2R. Really? He said, I got a Martin D28. It's just real similar. Really? That's cool, man. I mean, we start talking about guitar, and we pull it out, and he used to be like in this rock and roll band, and we're going, and I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. This might be the guy. We got something in common right off the bat here. And so he says, man, are you a musician? Are you traveling? Are you professional? I was like, no, dude, no way. He's like, well, what are you into? He's like, I'm like, you want to be real honest? I said, this is going to sound kind of nerdy, but I love Toyota Land Cruisers FJ40s. Usually I get a blank stare like all of you are looking at me. He says, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, why? He goes, I got a 1978 Toyota Land Cruiser FJ40. And we're like, brother! And we like hug. And we're talking about modifications and trips we've taken and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, well, does yours do this? I'm like, yeah. Does yours do this? Yeah. And we talk, I kid you not, I'd like to say it was more spiritual than this. We talked like the next hours about Land Cruisers. And now my brain's thinking, oh, I asked for stuff in common. Sweet. And we're talking, and we're talking. He says, Drew, what do you do? I said, well, that's not how it works. I'm sitting there, and I've got my Bible on my lap still. And he says, what book are you reading? I said, oh, it's the Bible. Have you heard of it? He's like, yeah. He's like, may I? And he kind of reached for it, so I gave it to him. And on the front of my Bible here, I didn't get Drew Fraser. I thought that was cheesy, so I just put Drew's Life Manual. And he gets it, and he goes, oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know you could customize these. I said, just like a Harley, dude. And he was laughing. And we had already figured out he rides Harleys, and I like all kinds of machines, so I kind of knew what he was talking about there. And boy, you know, here we are with the Land Cruiser brothers. And now they're calling for the tickets to start coming and getting seated. The place is packed by now. We've talked for so long. And he says, oh, Drew, I wish we had more time. I have so many questions about God I wish I could ask you. I said, man, well, I tell you what. I said, it's kind of a full flight, but maybe we can swap with somebody and we can sit next to each other and we can figure out maybe what some of those questions are. He said, yeah, let's try and do that. I said, well, where are you sitting? And I pull out my ticket. He pulls out his ticket. And he says, oh, man, I'm in 21. Or excuse me, I remember these numbers. It was crazy. I'm in 21E. Or 27. It was 27E. I still have the ticket stuff. 27E. I said, oh, let me see where I'm at. And now the rows go A, B, C, aisle, D, E. Guess which number I had? 27D. I started freaking out. I said, dude, we're already sitting next to each other. And there was just like the beverage cart next to us. So it wasn't even, we were in the last seat of the plane. It was kind of freaky for me. I don't like being in the back. I always think like the back end's going to break off and suck me out or something. But I thought, this is awesome. And in my mind, now God's just, the Spirit's moving in my brain. I'm thinking, this is the guy who God predestined before the world began that I would have something in common with. And that we would sit next to each other on the plane, and he's asking me, Drew, I've got questions about God I'd like you to answer. Sweet, Jesus is awesome! So we sit down, and we open up the little, I don't know what that thing's called, the floppy thing, it's a heart, what is it called, a tray? And I'm like, oh, what kind of questions you got? And he's got these whacked out questions. This dude's name was Scott. I'm like, Scott, I got no idea how to answer your questions. He's like, oh, I was like, but I do got this illustration that shows the mega theme of the Bible. Would you like to see it? And I said, it may, in a bigger way, in a macro way, cover some of those questions you're talking about. Oh, I'd love to see it. So I start working on the bridge. And we're drawing it out. And it's a short flight. It's like, woo, boop, down to Dallas. They're like 45 minutes in the air or something like that. And we're just having a great dialogue. We're in the back. I'm still freaked out. We're going to fall off the end of the plane. The beverage cart lady's slamming stuff. And we're just engaged in the scriptures. We're looking at the word. I'm drawing out God's plan to bring men to himself. And Scott's like, this is awesome. This is great. And we're about halfway through. And the pilot comes on, you know, hey, we're about to crash and all that stuff. And which means land. And he's like, we're going to land. And so put your tray thing up and sit down and hold on for dear life. And that's how I hear it. And so I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm not even halfway through the bridge. Here I am jibber-jabbering like a monkey in a tree, man. I'm not going to get to the end of this. So what do? I'm going to call on the holy God of Almighty. Jesus, I need more time. I just need more time. I don't know how you're going to do it. I got to have more time. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I got to talk to Scott a little while longer. I'm not through yet. We get on the ground. We're approaching the gate. And we got the thing back out because now you can put it back down because you're on the ground. And we're talking more and we're going, and I said, Scott, we're not going to be able to finish this. I'm so sorry. I said, oh, this has been cool. And excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad we didn't crash. Me too, bro. The jet in front of us in our gate, it's got ice all over it. They're trying to de-ice it. It's going to be at least 45 minutes before we can get in the gate. I'm sorry for the delay. I'm thinking, jackpot. So we go through the whole rest of this thing, and Scott, I mean, we're just talking, and it turns out he had made a decision for Christ years ago. No one had ever helped him solidify assurance of his salvation. And we're hugging at the end. And, oh, man, it was just wild. It was wild. And I stepped off the plane, and he had a plane to catch. He gives me this big hug. He says, thank you so much. And he just, boom, he takes off. I never saw him again. And I thought, God, you are huge. You are amazing. And so I thought, that's one half of my trip. Lord, what are you going to do for the second half? So I'd missed my layover. And I go through none of the little trams. Nothing's working because there's ice all over the ground. And so I have to hike it all the way to the terminals. Any guys been in Dallas Airport? It's like the biggest thing on the planet. And I got to hike. You know, I'm in D terminal. I got to go up to before A terminal or something like that. You got to walk like 12 miles. I mean, it's ridiculous. I get up to the counter, and I'm in the back of one of these Disney line zigzag things because everybody's planes are messed up, you know. And I'm in the back of the line, and I got my guitar there, and I'm kind of standing in line. It takes forever to get up there, but no one gets behind me ever. It's kind of weird. And I got there, and all these people are yelling, "Get me on the next plane!" And like they're just yelling at the people. I'm like, "Dude, people, like it's iced up. You better just relax." And I get up to the counter, and the girl in front of me had just been yelled at. And she, you know, like ladies, when you sometimes do this because it's about to come, you know what I mean? And it's just about to start pouring out, and you're like, come on, hold it back, hold it back. I don't know what this does, but I've seen you do it. She's right at that point. She's right, it's just about to burst. And I said, you know what, you look like you really could use a break. And there's nobody behind me. I'm in no hurry. I missed my flight already. I'm hoping you can hook me up with a new flight. So I love to take a break. So she goes back, kind of gets some composure, and comes back out just a couple minutes later. And she said, "Thank you so much. I just needed that. I just needed that." And I said, "Sweet, can you get me on an earlier flight out?" She's like, "Nope." I was like, "Oh, so okay, no worries." But she goes, "You know what I can do? I can give you a voucher here at the airport." I was like, "A voucher? What's that?" She's like, "I'll give you a $12 coupon you can use anywhere in the airport." Sweet, all right, that'll work. And she goes, "And you're not out of here till like, I don't even know, 7 o'clock that night. It's like 1 or 2, something like that." I'm like, great. So I get this $12 voucher. You know what the first thing I think of? Super spiritual, car magazines. Free car magazines. I'll go get the ones I don't get subscriptions to, and I'll get all caught up. And then the Lord started to work on me and said, "Drew, were you there with what I did this morning?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, Lord, yeah, you've been doing some big things today." So here's what I just did. I'm walking through the terminal, got my guitar in a hand, and I'm walking now back to, you know, Terminal Z squared or something. And I'm walking forever, and I get out there, and I've got this terminal. And I looked at this thing. It's you know, got this thing for $12. She says, and then before I leave, she says, "Now you spend it all. You buy a pack of gum for 50 cents. They're not giving you $11.50 in change. They just take it. So spend all $12. And I'm thinking, okay, that's cool. That's good advice. And so I started praying, "Lord, how much glory could you get out of $12? How much glory could you really get out of this $12 voucher? What could I do to watch you move?" So I'm walking, I'm looking at this, and I go to the terminal, nobody's there. I fell asleep, I played my guitar, I did some reading, nobody's there. It's a couple hours before the plane's supposed to leave, maybe 2.5, 3 hours, something like that. And I kind of wake up from a nap, and there's one dude in the whole terminal. I thought, I've been here before. So I walk over to the guy. Now listen, I've grown up a lot since this. I'm just going to tell you how I said it. I'm not real excited about the way that I said it. But I have this voucher, and I just walk up to this guy who's sitting there. And I said, "Excuse me." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm not gay." And he says, "Okay." And I said, "But I got this coupon I'd like to ask if you'd like to go to dinner." And he goes, he's a little freaked out, understandably. That's honestly just what I said. I didn't know how else to handle it. I'd never asked another man out to dinner. And he says, "Sure, why not? Why not? I'm just telling you how it happened. I've learned a lot of stuff since then, and I wouldn't do it again, but it's what came out of my mouth." Dude says, "Sure, I'll go. Let's go." And so our terminal's right here. There's two of us, nincompoops, in this whole empty terminal. And I've just asked the other guy out. And here's like a TGI Fridays right next to the terminal. Like it kind of faces it a little bit. And so we go on to TGI Fridays, and they sit us actually down in the first booth right by the door. And he says, "Man, you play guitar?" I said, "Yeah, I play guitar." He says, "Man, you like Pearl Jam?" I said, "I love Pearl Jam." "Man, I grew up on that stuff. A lot of you guys are too young. Do you?" And you're like, "Oh, that's good oldies. Man, you're killing me." He said, "Man, I love Pearl Jam." And so I said, "Well, I can play some Pearl Jam songs." "Really?" So we start playing some. He's like, "This is awesome, like a concert. I think this is pretty cool." He said, "Man," I said, "what are you into, man?" And he's like, "Man, satellites." Satellites? I got nothing in common with satellites. But a roommate that I used to work with did telecommunications, and I could understand some of the jibber jabber. I'm like, "Man, I don't know what you're, I don't really," but he talked forever. I ate my whole meal, and like his fries were getting cold, and he's just he just went on and 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 on. I was way done. And finally he said, Drew, what do you do? I said, man, I got the greatest job in the whole world. Can I tell you about it? He said, yeah. He said, I get to tell young college students about Jesus. Really? That's what you do for your job? I said, yeah. He goes, man, Drew, I got a lot of questions about God. You care if I ask you some of them? No. No, I do not. And he says, where's Space End? He said, what? Where's Space End? I said, man, I don't know where Space ends, but I do got this illustration. And it may clear up some of those questions, like in the grand scheme of things. That's all I really got for you. He says, oh, man, let's see it. I said, sweet. So we get ready, and this is not a lie. We're sitting there. We've been there forever. Forever. This kid talked forever. And I can hear outside the terminal. We're right by the door. Last call for 5 on time. I'm thinking, oh, dude, that's us, dude. He's like, oh, you're right. And we just been talking. We totally forgot that the plane's going to leave. And so we pay the bill real quick. We use the $12 voucher. We get out and we get in line. And I mean, they're like, you know, pick which kid you love the most. There's no room. You got to only take one. I mean, like, there's no room on this plane. There's no room because everybody's flights are all jacked up. And they're like, man, you are not going to get a seat, man. Nobody loves you here. And so we're standing in line. And this is, I kid you not, this is exactly the way that it happened. This kid says, oh, man, Drew, I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time. I'd love to see that illustration you were going to show me. And right now, honestly, I'm standing there, and there's this huge line, and my confidence is as huge as my God. I said, you want to see something freaky? He said, yeah, what? I said, pull out your ticket. Straight up, it's what I said. I kid you not, it's what I said. It had turned out, I didn't even tell you this, we had played high school soccer against each other. We figured that out when we were eating dinner on the way to the state tournament. It was just crazy stuff, all this weird stuff. We played in a town way distant for both of us, and we figured out we played in the same tournament, all this stuff. I knew this was the guy God had for me. I knew it. And so I said, pull out your ticket. And he goes, okay. And so he pulls out his ticket, and he's in row 12A. And the plane is full. It is full. Guess which ticket I have? Nope, I don't have 12B. I have 12C. And I'm thinking, come on, God, what's up? You're killing me here. And the dude just kind of takes a step back, like, whoa, dude, what's up with that? And I said, I'll tell you all about it. It got freakier this morning than this. And he was freaked out. I was kind of freaked out. I'm like, this is new for me too, bro. We're like the last two scrubs on the plane. And we get in, and he sits down. I said, well, you know what? Surely someone's going to want a window or an aisle, not the middle. Because it was ABC aisle. I think this one had three seats on the other side. So we'll trade with somebody that wants either a window or aisle, and we'll be able to sit together. The middle person's going to want to sit not in the middle. And he said, yeah, you're right. So we get in there, and he sits down in seat A, and I sit down in seat C, and we're waiting for the dude in the middle, and we're waiting for the dude in the middle, and the plane fills up, and we're waiting for the dude in the middle, and I see the lady closing up the door, and we're waiting for the dude in the middle, and the lady starts to sit down and buckle up and do that oxygen thing, and there's no dude in the middle. Plane's packed full. There's one empty seat on the entire plane. Guess which seat it is? 12B. That's for real. I'm not even making this up. I started praying a long time ago, Jesus, give me stories that make non-believers, people that don't know you yet, make their jaws drop. And that would encourage the brothers and sisters. And I couldn't make this junk up. So for the next 3 hours, we opened down the tray thing. We put out the Bible. We started to walk through the gospel of God's plan to redeem this man to himself. And it was awesome. He says, Drew, I wasn't real good at presenting it then. I don't really knew where he stood. I think I explained it pretty well. I said, you got to tell my wife about this when we get off the plane. Okay, I'll tell your wife about it. And take these Pearl Jam CDs. Give me 2 Pearl Jam CDs. I don't know. That's pretty cool. And, I told him the whole story about the morning. He's like, dude, that's weird. I was like, you're telling him. I was freaking out pretty much. And I thought, God, you are huge. I got off the plane and my mom and dad greeted me and I gave them a big hug. Like, how was your trip? I was like, you have no idea. Where do I begin? here's this dude practically in tears bringing his wife up to me, and we're talking and we're hugging. And man, Jesus just said, yeah, I'm God. I can do whatever I want. All the authority's mine, Drew. I just pray this little prayer. Jesus, I want something in common with these guys. And I'd really like to share you in some capacity. That was it. It wasn't some super spiritual thing. It wasn't like I'm this holy roller, I'm living this perfect life. I just said, Jesus, if you want to use me, I'm yours. I'll stand on your word that you want to draw men and women to yourself from all over the world. Would you let me be a part of that? I hope that you would. Can you do immeasurably more than all I could ever ask or imagine? Yeah, your word tells me that you can. He has given us his very great and precious promises. This is the God that I serve. This is the Jesus that I'm asking you to follow. And a lot of you will be deceived right now to think, that can't be me. It won't happen like that in my life. And if you get time and you want to pull me aside, I'll tell you 10 more stories like that. Freak me out. I write them down. I'll go home tonight and I'll think, you really did do that, Jesus. This is too cool. Because he's, you know what? He is way more concerned about getting his job done than we will ever be. Than we will ever be. He is way more concerned about those two guys on the plane than I will ever be. He's way more concerned about the people in your dorm than you will ever be. Campus staff, he is way more concerned about your students than you will ever be. He is more concerned about getting his job done than we could ever even imagine or we will ever be. This is the God that's saying, come on, follow me. Follow me. I'll do it. I've given you every resource you need to do it. It's right in here. Get to know it. And then take me up on it. Watch if I won't do the same for you. You know, they realized that Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished. And they took note that these men had taken time to spend with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you just praising you, Jesus. Reliving these things that you've done in my life is so exciting. Lord, I want more. Lord, I pray these stories get old. May you bring in new ones. Lord, not that we would be able to be good storytellers or brag on our friends, but Lord, that we would be your biggest fans. Jesus, would you help us brag on you? Lord, would you be about glorifying yourself in our lives? Lord, your word, you've given us so many great and precious promises. And Lord, we just confess so many of us have just looked past them. Or we've never stopped to claim them or plead them with you, Jesus. Would you change that in our hearts as we follow you? Lord, we want to come hard after you. We want to get you out of the box we put you in. We want to obey you when you say, come follow you. Follow you, the Lord God Almighty. Lord, thanks that it's not our efforts that do it. It's your Spirit's power in us. It's your power working through us to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We praise you for this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know what you're doing with it. Hey, what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple minutes. Sorry about that. I didn't really know the schedule all that well. And I want to give you, you know what? Experience is awesome, and a fun time like this is great. But I think, I don't know who said this or who I heard it from, but real experience is only good when it's an evaluated experience. And so we just want to take 10, 15 minutes now. And I've got some questions that I've just given these guys. We're going to put them up on the screen. And I just ask you, grab that journal that they've given you. I'd ask you to write out these questions. And just get honest with yourself. Get honest with God. And reflect on some of the things that you've been hearing this weekend, some of the things that the Lord's been doing in your heart. I'd encourage you just to pull out that journal, maybe date it, and be honest with them. And maybe do a question at a time. And we'll take 10, 15 minutes. I think maybe the band will play or they're going to play some music in the background. And I'd just like you to think about these questions. I'm going to just read them off to you real quick. The first one would be, in what ways have I been keeping God in a box in my life? This is a question, and these questions, honestly, you could ask yourself day after day, year after year, and continue to grow and continue to expand your view of Him. But in what ways have I been keeping God in a box in my life? And we're going to keep these up here. And what do I need to say to God about this? What's been holding me back from denying myself, taking up my cross daily, and following Jesus? I want you to be specific in that. There's probably real things that are holding you back. And that's okay. But what do you need to say to Jesus in regards to this? What are some key areas I want to see Jesus move in my life? Tell Him. He wants you to have as much of Him as you can handle. And what are a few things that are impossible to do by yourself that I'm going to ask God to do in me or through me or around me because He's God Almighty? So I'm just going to ask Him to play a little bit of time. I just want you to stop. You know, we've had a fun time and those are fun stories and things like that. But let's really focus in on who God is, what He's doing in our life, and be honest with these questions. And be honest with God. I just encourage you to write out your prayers to God. That way as you come back and look at it down the road, you'll know what you said and you'll see how far He's moved you along. So we're just going to take the next 10, 15 minutes and do that.